Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here. A miracle of healing, a conscience illuminated, and divine providence. These are the topics that we cover in our conversation with Mother Mary Bernadette, foundress of the Queenship of Mary. Now, just a heads up, while we're recording this interview, this conversation, outside the studio is a lot of kids. In fact, there's 80 people coming in and out of our home as we record this conversation. So what you hear in the background is what we hear in the background. It's noisy. That's what community sounds like. But despite that, I know you're going to be blessed by this conversation.
I had had an experience with the Lord in 1998 in front of the Holy Face of Jesus image in the cathedral in Montreal. And it rocked my whole world. That's another time where the Lord, when I looked at that, I didn't even know what the image was. I was nominally Catholic. I was, you know, I declared myself to be Catholic, but I didn't have that personal relationship with Jesus. So when I was there, I didn't know what the Holy Face of Jesus image was. And when I looked at it, a cross lit up across Jesus's face on the image, just bright, bright cross. And he revealed to me that if I didn't change my life, I would not be going to heaven. Now, it's not that I was living a bad life or anything like that, but he said, you have to. He made me aware of my whole being and my, and he brought me into a relationship instantly, and all of the sins in my life, almost like it was almost like an illumination of conscience happened to me at that time. And I thought, wow, this is so profound. So it stayed with me for some time, and I had to go back and I had to research what's the Holy Face of Jesus. I found out what it was, all the promises associated with it. I found a spiritual director because I said, this is too profound. I have to find a priest that I can share this with. I didn't know what spiritual direction was, but I found a priest that I could share it with. That priest started to guide me and said, yes, that he would be my spiritual director. And my whole life changed. People couldn't understand. Again, it was this time where I changed completely. Like, people couldn't understand. And so he suggested consecrating myself to Jesus through Mary, through the St. Louis de Montfort consecration. So I did that. And as soon as I finished that very first time of consecration, I found myself every year on Mary's feast day being in one of her apparition sites. So in 2003, I ended up on my consecration day of 2003, March 25th, the Annunciation. I found myself in Benoux in Belgium. And it was there that I looked up at the healing, the statue that the healing waters are by, Our Lady of the Poor in Belgium, Benoux. And I had just burnt my hand very bad before coming there. It was all blistering up. And I thought, I looked up and I saw a hue, like a light around the statue. And I thought, that's the Mother's present. She's here. So if I put my hand in that healing water and I tell her that, you know, she'll heal it. If I just say, please, Blessed Mother, will you heal my hand? It was very painful. So I put my hand into the cold, cold water. And I remember just being a little bit afraid and just saying the words, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. That's all I could think of to say is I believe that this, that you could do this healing. And I was too afraid to take it out to see if it was healed, right? So I was trying to feel it under the water to see if the blisters were still there, and they weren't. And when I took it out, it was all down to just all hard, all healed over on the hand. So I went, I looked at it, and it really, you know, frightened me for a little bit. And then I thought, no, there are miracles. So that was beautiful. So I remember going back, and my spiritual director, I went back to him and I said, next year, just joking, apparently his sacristan told me that I said this, I don't remember saying, next year I'm going to go to Lourdes. Well, sure enough, a pilgrimage was organized for Lourdes. So we were going to Lourdes in 2005. We didn't know, but St. John Paul II was going to be there, his last pilgrimage to Lourdes, when we were there. So we were there in Lourdes, and I, at the time, I had a degenerative disc in my spine that was really painful and causing me now to start to go to physio. And I needed to go, but I hadn't been to physio. It was so painful. So I thought, well, you know, Blessed Mother, last time you healed my hand that was really little. I'm here in Lord, so you could heal my spine. So I'll go into the healing waters of spine. Healing waters of Lord's. So anyway, as we were in the line with a whole lot of little children, we were feeling so sorry for the little children. We said, no, we're not going to get to the line. Somebody came out and picked us out and took us right to the front. And when I knelt down in the water, I couldn't even explain to them what was wrong with. They took my back down and they took my back right into the water. Where they didn't do that with the friend that I was with. I said, well, what happened to you? She said, it was so freezing cold. I could barely kneel in it. But they put my back right back into the water. Yeah. And when it came up, there was no pain. So I came out and I said to my spiritual director, you know what? I've been healed. And he said, it's your faith. He said, you have such a strong grace and gift of faith. It's your faith that healed you. And it was during that trip there that he said to me, I believe that God will never understand why you've had to go through all these years of hardship since the first of the conversion in 1998. But he said, we'll be told in heaven why all of that had to happen. But I think that God's calling you to found a community of young women that will all be full of joy and they'll all need inner healing. And that prophetic word has come right to a T. It scared me because I said, what if I'm going to be called into religious life? I want to become a cloistered Carmelite. That was my spirituality, and that's where I wanted to go. And he said, I think you're going to have to do that in the world. And then the following year, we were taking a group to World Youth Day in 2005. So that was 2003, 2004, 2005. We were taking a group to World Youth Day in Germany. And my spiritual director there in the big field said, when are you going to found this community? And I said, well, I don't know. He said, well, pray about where you're supposed to be founding it. And I prayed, and it was Ottawa. And so from there, I ended up that year as well on my third consecration in a row, 2005, December the 8th, I ended up in Fatima. And it was there that I was in the Adoration Chapel, and I had started a house for young women to discern called the Queenship House in Halifax. And it was there that Blessed Mother placed on my heart. I almost could hear her words. They are now to be consecrated. So she was telling me that this house that I was running as a discernment house, the women that were there that were serious with me in religious life, we were going to be starting a community. So it was from there that I was in touch with bishops and had to find out all the ways of how you would even start a community. And we were given a blessing for in 2007 to start on the Queenship of Mary. So August the 22nd, 2007, we came up, we gave all of our furniture away, everything. We just said, Jesus, we have nothing. We're going to go up and we're going to live in divine providence and we're going to start this community. And it's been quite a journey for 16 and a half years.
Back in the early days, I don't know if you still have it, but I've heard something called a miracle board.
Yes, we did. We had a miracle board. Because
tell me about that.
There were so many miracles happening to us. It was almost embarrassing how many miracles were happening to us. Like, we had nothing. So we went up there. We had the miracle of the house. Like, because before coming up, I had decided that I was going to start a consulting company and dedicate it to Blessed Mother and call it Avocare. So consulting, I figured out how to do it online, $500, I could start a company. And it was because of that company that we ended up getting the funding to buy a house, our first house in Ottawa, which we did right in 2007. We came up. I was signing the papers, and I had a priest, young priest with me praying the rosary. And miraculously, this deal went through. It was just a total miracle. So we moved in the house with nothing, no beds, nothing. People came, they furnished the place. We would be down to no groceries, and all of a sudden somebody be knocking on our door. They would be bringing us groceries. We, at the 2 years after that, I decided that I think the market's going to go bad, so I should sell this and move on to and try to pay off some of where we were at. We cleared out completely to the cent to start over again.
What did you sell?
The house that we had, because it was in my name.
Oh.
And so now we were coming to the stage where we're going to get ready for vows, and I can't have anything in my name.
Okay, so you weren't a religious community yet.
No, we were told that we could become a religious community, but there's a lot of years that have to go through. You know, canon law has requirements we had to go into. The bishop one day said to me, "Well, in order to become a religious community, you need a canonical novitiate, a proper canonical novitiate with a community that is well known and preferably pontifical community." And I was like, where do they exist, right? One day, one of the sisters came home and they said, "Oh, you're going to love this new community we found. They're Adorers of the Blessed Sacrament, the Franciscan Missionaries of Mary." And so I went to adoration one day and I was sitting there and the Lord just downloaded a whole letter that I wrote to the Mother Superior. She said, "Where did you get this?" I said, "Just this is what we're asking of you, how we can help you and you can help us. And this is the bishop's request." She looked at it and she said, "It makes so much sense." She said, "I'm going to send it to my regional." So she sent it to the regional, who said, "Oh my, this makes so much sense. I can't say no to this. I'm going to send it to Rome." They sent it to Rome, and the community in Rome said, "Well, our foundress loved helping people get started, new communities get started. So you go back and get all of the elderly sisters in adoration and ask them, and it has to be that everybody agrees that you will take this community in." So that's what she did. She took them back, put them all in adoration. And sure enough, they all came back. Some of them, I don't think, would have said yes if they hadn't been in adoration. And they came out and they said, "Maybe it's not us, but we feel it's God's will." They all came out saying, "We feel it's God's will." So they accepted us for a year. So that was a total miracle. The bishop put us in. He brought us out. Then the bishop was seeing that so many things were happening to us. Like we were able to, vocations were starting to come in. We were able to sustain ourselves financially. It was, people were generous to us. There were so many factors coming up that he said, "Okay." I said, to the bishop, I said, "Your Grace, I really want the Blessed Sacrament in the house." "Well, we're still even considered, a private association of Christ faithful." Right from the very beginning, he did recognize this as that. He said, "Well, we've got to start going through vows now." So, anyway, 2015, what he did, he was so good about it. He said that he would accept my vows, you know, first, and then we would, once we were all vowed, there was, and he said also, I had asked him about a habit. I said, "I can see the habit in my mind." It took me about 4 seamstresses to actually fulfill what I could see. And finally, when the last seamstress put this habit onto one of the sisters, I said, "That's exactly what I see." The logo had already been given to me at the very beginning, and I knew that would be situated right on the scapular. And so it amazes me that he didn't even see the habit before we walked out on the vows on that day at the cathedral. In the basement of the cathedral, in the little chapel down there, he accepted our vows. He blessed her habits, and the investiture and the profession of first vows happened. And then 3 years later at the cathedral upstairs, we professed our perpetual vows.
Beautiful. How many, you said a group of you, how many were in that first group?
The first group, there were 6. Then it went down, it would fluctuate, right? So when we were ready to vow, there were 5 of us. And so it's really beautiful to see that we were able, so we never received the white veil that they now have.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because we went right into the profession of our first vows. But we did take religious names. I knew that that was going to be part of what we were going to do as well. And I was really inspired with the founding of the community by St. Teresa of Avila. I felt like she was my sister when I was reading her autobiography and all her experiences. And I thought, no, this is going to be a reform. We're going to have beautiful religious habits. We're going to go back to living completely in divine providence, living totally our evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. It was going to be a little bit like the generation right now, I feel, is when they're committed, it's all or nothing. Mm-hmm. And I really felt that they were saying, if it's legitimate, if it's everything, if it's holy, if we're adorers of the Blessed Sacraments, or written in our constitutions, written that we have to minimally strive to have, you know, an hour of adoration a day. Right now, we wake in the morning very early and we go to an adoration from 6:15 to 8:15, 2 hours of adoration before we go to Mass. Now we're starting to really expand upon that. During Lent, Wednesdays and Fridays, we have adoration all day. We take turns Friday, we go all night. So it's starting to increase and increase and increase, because we love being before the Lord and the Blessed Sacrament, adoring Him.
Thank you for watching. If you've been blessed by this video, would you please consider becoming our monthly Patreon supporter? To support, click the link at the end of this video, also in the description.